Well, thank you all so much again. I'm going to have you stand up one more time. We're going to read our text this morning as we get ready to praise God by hearing the Word of God, letting that Word get deep into our hearts. Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12, describing the birth of Jesus and the visit of the Magi, says this. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and the scribes of the peoples, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother. And they fell down and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold, and frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed on their own to their own country by another way. Thank you for standing attention to the word. You may be seated. Well, I'm so grateful again for the opportunity to share the word with you this morning, and always grateful at Christmas time to remember and to consider the birth of Jesus Christ and the significance that it holds. I'm also particularly excited this morning to have our children in service with us, both this morning and also next morning, giving a little break to our children's ministry workers, but also giving me the chance to talk to children. It's a lot of fun. I enjoy that. Well, I'm looking forward as well to the not only talking to the children, but seeing what God does in the lives of your children. As a church that has been here for 48 years, it's amazing, as one who literally was born and raised in this church, it's great to be reminded over and over and over of the birth of Jesus Christ and the significance that it plays and how believing in that can shape your life in such a powerful way. When you think about Christmas, we think about what is taking place here, what we are celebrating, there's so many aspects of it that we can focus on. But the thing that I want you to begin by to focus on this morning is that Christmas is a message of communication. God decided to communicate to us. He spoke to us. In fact, it had been about 500 years where the people of God did not hear anything from God, and then Christmas came. Think about that for a minute. 500 years where you have some traditions that you may follow, but there was no active, no clear, no obvious communication from God. They had a past, they had stories, but those stories left them longing for a fresh and powerful and new and real word. And it's in that time that Jesus comes. God brings Jesus in the world to communicate, to speak to us. God, it says in John 1, that Jesus is the Word made flesh. Jesus' very presence, his person, is a message from God. It is God speaking to us. And there's lots of different ways in this Matthew chapter 2 account that we see God speaking, particularly to the wise men, or the Magi. Now, we always picture them as three wise men, but the Bible doesn't say there's three, only that there was three different gifts. So there may have been 30, or there may have been two. We don't really know. But there was a group, there was these wise men, these Magi, who were longing to hear from God, and God speaks to them. So I want you to consider the ways that God speaks to them in this story here this morning and see how it relates to you in your own life. The first thing that we see is God spoke through the skies. He spoke through the skies, particularly the stars. They looked up and they saw the stars. Now, what this suggests is that these men, it might even be women, we don't know, but these wise scholars, what they spent most of their nights doing was staring up at the skies. We can't relate to this because we live in a very bright world. Light pollution, they call it. Not only do we live in a world of light pollution, where looking up into the stars is like, it's kind of hard to see the stars, but we also are incredibly impatient people. So we don't spend a lot of time staring at the stars, although recently people have started to look up and they're like, oh, wow, it's a drone invasion. So people are really excited. There's like something up there. Wow, God's speaking. But these guys, they were observing carefully what was taking place in the skies because they had a conviction that there was communication from the Creator through the stars. And they were right. God, this is crazy. Think about this. There are billions and billions of stars surrounding us. And very, very small amount of those do we actually have the ability to see, and we only get to see them for a little bit of time. But every single one of them was placed exactly where it is in the galaxies and in the universe as a message to you of God. God is speaking to you about who He is through the stars. It says in James 1, 17, 18, every good and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of His own will, He brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. God set every single star in its exact place as a message for us, His creatures, His image bearers. That's crazy to think about. And everyone, for generations, all of these times past, people have stared up at the stars and saying, what does this mean? It said in the very beginning of creation, in Genesis 1:14, God said, let there be lights that in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons. God put all those stars up there in the sky as signs to us. He was pointing us in a particular direction. And these guys, on this particular day, were staring up there and they said, like we heard in the story, hey, where'd that star come from? I'd never seen that star before. They got together and they looked at their maps and they looked at their scrolls and they looked at all their recordings of the stars and the charts. They said, this doesn't make any sense. This must be a sign from God that a king has been born. So let's chase it. So they started following that star. There was a comet a few months ago. Did anybody go out there and look at the comet? No stargazers. Ah, I got two. All right. I did. It was not easy to see. I took out my binoculars and I was like, okay, is this there? Finally, I saw it. And I was like, okay, cool. So maybe some people speculate, maybe this star that they saw was like a comet. And it was weird because every day you would go out there and look for where the comet was, and you could see it, and then the next day it was a little bit further along. It's not like a shooting star. Like you think that's what the comets look like. That's not what the comets look like at all. They just kind of gradually move little by little by little, and then you don't see them anymore. So some people speculate that God sent a comet into the sky, and that the following of that comet, it perfectly orchestrated to where Jesus was. We don't really know. That's all just speculation. But the point is, God orchestrated the universe, all of the celestial bodies, to point us to Jesus. And He's still doing that today. When you consider the stars, it says in Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God. Day after day, they pour out speech. Look up at the stars. Gaze upon them and ponder that God is speaking and saying who He is and what He's done. He's pointing you to Jesus. But God didn't just speak to them through the skies. He also spoke to them in their sleep. In this story, they fall asleep, and God says, "Hey, I got a message for you. Don't listen to that Herod fellow. He's a liar." God spoke to them in their sleep. In Numbers chapter 12, verse 6, God says, "Hear my words. If there's a prophet among you, I, the Lord, I make myself known to him in a vision. I speak with him in a dream." I speak with him in a dream. Now, did you know, this is a little bit creepy, but there is millions and millions of dollars being spent right now by scientists. I'm going to use air quotes. Scientists. And they're trying to figure out how to put dreams into people. Implanting dreams. They think this is useful technology, because if they can implant a dream, you could buy a dream ahead of time. It's a commercial property, right? I know a lot of you, like me, big Christopher Nolan fans, and you're like, "I thought they already did that. I saw Inception like 25 times. Still didn't know if the top is going to fall or not." Whatever. Okay, maybe 4 of you saw that movie. Come on, that's a top 10. Great movie. Man. All right, okay, I got you. Thank you. Anyways, you watched Inception, and they're like all implanting dreams, and they're jumping into the dreams, and they go into the dreams, and it's awesome. Well, they're actually trying that. They're trying to do that. But they can't do it. It doesn't work. They can't implant dreams, which should be encouraging to all of us. Okay? God can. God did. What's more? Wait. God does. God speaks in dreams. Now, that doesn't mean that every dream that you have is necessarily God trying to say something to you. I'm praying this is true, because I hate when people, I'm not a big want to hear your dreams person. But yesterday, nobody wants to hear this. I know, it's terrible. Yesterday, I'm out there trying to sweep up leaves on my driveway, and my neighbor, he comes out, and we start talking, and we always talk about the same thing, baseball, because it's God's gift. And he's telling me about how he hopes to throw out the first pitch next year, because he's going to be retiring from the Navy. He's a great guy. And he's like, "I'm hoping I'm going to reach out and maybe I'll be able to throw a first pitch in a game." And I'm like, "Oh, that'd be amazing." And then all of a sudden I go, "Oh no, you just reminded me of the dream that I had last night." And it was a nightmare. I dreamt that I was invited to throw the first pitch at the Dodgers game. I know. Horrible. Oh, it was so awful. And now I'm sharing that with all of you, and so I'm revisiting this nightmare, and please let that not be from God. I don't know. The point is this. He spoke to them in their dreams, and God is the only one that can interject into our dreams and speak. And all throughout the Bible, there's different stories of God speaking through dreams, whether it was Joseph or the other Joseph. Maybe there's something about being named Joseph. I don't know. But there's God speaking through dreams. Speaking through skies. What is this showing us? God is incredibly powerful. He sets every single star where he wants it to be so that he can point us to Jesus. He can go right into our brains as we are sleeping and communicate to us. Praise God that one of the ways that many are, I shared earlier about how in China they're prohibiting children from going to church. In other countries where the gospel is prohibited, there's incredible testimonies of people experiencing a dream that awakens them to the reality that Jesus Christ has come. That Jesus Christ, God's gift, God's provision for salvation, and he appears in people's dreams. The Apostle Paul had a dream where somebody was saying, "Hey, come to Macedonia and help us." And Paul says, Well, that dream is telling me to go and speak to them. Now, why didn't God just appear to the Macedonian person and speak to them in a dream? I don't know. All I know is that God has incredible power to communicate, and he speaks, in this case, through dreams. But not only did God speak through the skies and in their sleep, he also, and this is important in contextualizing both our stargazing and our sleep, our dream interpretation. He speaks through the scriptures. So both the Magi, they get there and they're like, well, we saw a star and we have these dreams and we know that God is speaking to us, but we need something concrete. We need something firm to base our understanding on. Because the stars could just be stars and the dream could just be the burrito. We don't know. I didn't have a burrito, so that wasn't the Dodgers nightmare. I don't know what it was. You never know. It's a hot dog. Yeah, that's what I had. It's a terrible. God speaks through the scriptures, and the scriptures are a much more reliable determination of what God is saying. So maybe you're looking up at the stars and you think, oh, there's God's great. And maybe you have a dream and you think, I think God wants me to go to Macedonia. All right. Does the scripture say go to Macedonia? Well, yeah, it's right there in Acts. So God's telling you to go to Macedonia. Praise God. You've just been called into the mission field. Awesome. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may complete, equipped for every good work. God breathed out his word, and it's been recorded and written down for us. And we have this word as a firm and clear communication from God. So I encourage you, as we are now at the end of the year, actually, I'm going to give you a discouragement and an encouragement. Discouragement. Don't try, if you haven't yet begun, to finish reading the Bible this year. It's just going to make you really anxious to spend the next 10 days, fewer than 9 days, just trying to read through the whole Bible. It's a big book. Don't try and do it in 9 days. That's my discouragement. My encouragement is 365 days, you can do it. You can do it. You can read through this Bible, this word, in 365 days. Children, it might be a little bit of a challenge. In fact, it would probably be a pretty significant challenge. So what I'll encourage you to do is read through the New Testament in 365 days. In the next couple of weeks, we're going to have our Bible, well, next week, we'll have the Bible reader schedule out there. And we have a Bible reader to read the whole Bible in a year. We have a schedule to read the New Testament in a year. Both of those are excellent resources. We also have one that you can read through the book of Psalms every month, which is a great habit. It's a great thing. Also, the book of Proverbs is 31 chapters. Most months have 31 days, or maybe many of the months. I don't know if it's most. It's close enough. 31 days. Read the book of Proverbs. One proverb a day, you read the book of Proverbs. If you will commit to reading the Word of God, I guarantee you, I promise you, it will be the favorite New Year's resolution that you make. If you'll do it, you'll enjoy this more than losing 50 pounds. You'll benefit more than all of your, more than running a marathon. Although if you want to run a marathon, go run a marathon. But the crazy thing is, reading the Word, committing to reading the Word, will make you more able to run the marathon. It'll make you more able to lose 50 pounds or to save $10,000 or whatever kind of objective that you set out there. If you will make this your number one objective, all the other objectives will fall into line. It's crazy. It works. So I encourage you, read the Word, because God is speaking to you through the Scriptures. Obviously, you are here this morning and you understand the value of coming together in worship and of being a part of a church family. But this particular church family, Living Way Church, our logo is an open Bible with a cross in the middle, because that is what we put our lives on. The Word of God, the new and living way, is Jesus Christ, and He is given to us and spoken to us clearly through His Word. I love the Bible. I want you to love the Bible as well. Read the Word. It's a great thing. So they said, where is this child that's to be born? And is it the stars? Is that going to tell us? Is our dreams going to tell us? They said, no. What does the Scriptures say? And the Scripture said, go to Bethlehem. Go to Bethlehem. So they went to Bethlehem, and there they found the last way that God is speaking in this story. God speaks through the Son. S-O-N, Jesus Christ. He is the Son. He is the Word of God made flesh. He is the one who God speaks most clearly and certainly to us. Hebrews 1 says, long ago, at many times, in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed the heir of all things, through whom also He created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of His nature. And He upholds the universe by the word of His power. The Son of God, in infant form, swaddling cloth-wrapped baby, laying there, totally helpless, is also, at the exact same moment, holding up the entire universe by His power. Wow. What an amazing moment in history. Here's this Creator God in creation. But look, it says, the verse goes on in Hebrews 1. Look at what it says in chapter 1, verse 6 through 9. Again, when He brings the firstborn into the world, Christmas, He says, let all God's angels worship Him. And that's why this angels come and appear to the shepherds. And they start worshiping this infant. Of the angels, He says, He makes His angels winds and His ministers a flame of fire. But of the Son, He says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of uprightness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness beyond your companions. So now I want to shift a little bit here. I've told you about how God speaks through the Christmas story. He speaks through the skies. And He speaks in their sleep, and He speaks in the Scriptures, and He speaks through the Son, and here is the Son. Now, let me tell you something about this Son. This is really, really cool. What this verse is telling us about the Son is that the Son is the star that holds the scepter. The Son is the star that holds the scepter. What are you talking about? Son, the star that holds the scepter. Well, we saw here, it's prophesied of the Son that your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of uprightness is the scepter of your kingdom. A scepter. Children, how many children are in service today? How many of you know what a scepter is? Any of you? Oh, Bob? You know what a scepter is? What is it? It's like a staff. Yeah. Yeah. Kids, anybody else know what a scepter is? Yeah? All right. Very good. In fact, Karen, I'm going to give you I'm going to make things difficult on you. Can you go back to the story that was read? The very first page of the story. I'm going to throw it. Oh, you are so fast. Well done. By the way, as Karen's working back there, in 2 weeks, we're going to have a new training. If you want to get trained up on that so that you could be called out and asked to do something very difficult and have everybody focused on you, if you would like to volunteer in that way, that's in 2 weeks. Pro presenter training, January 5th. Well done, Karen. Many accolades. Look at that! Bob, Would you say that's a scepter? Yes. There it is. This is showing us the king, and the king has a scepter. Isn't that, that's a weird thing to have. If any of you happen to, for Christmas, open up your, you get like a tube that's wrapped, it might be a scepter. I don't know. We have very little context for scepters. Like, what? It's not a weapon. It's not like a lightsaber. I know, it's disappointing. It's like a staff, but it's also not quite as long as a staff. It's just it's like a stick, but with something special on it. What's the point of a scepter? It's a thing that you can hit people with. It's a symbol of authority. It's a symbol of authority. A king that holds a scepter has power. A king that holds a scepter, that scepter represents the supreme authority of that king. And this verse says the son has a scepter. But not only does the son have a scepter, I said the son is a star who has a scepter. Listen to this verse in Numbers chapter 24, verse 17. I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. It shall crush the forehead of Moab and break down all the sons of Sheth. This prophecy was by a man who was hired to curse the Israelites. What? Yeah. His name was Balaam, and they said, Balaam, I'm going to give you some money if you will come and look out at the Israelites and curse them. And he goes, well, I'll take the money, but I don't know if I can do a very good curse. And he comes out there, and he looks at the Israelites, and he says, I see a star holding a scepter that's going to come out of here. And they were like, whoa, no, that's not a curse. That's a blessing. Don't just stop. He's like, yeah, that's what I see. I'm sorry, I can't say but what I see. And here he sees a star holding a scepter. Now, this scepter means a lot. It means that whatever the one holds the scepter says goes. There's another really cool Bible story about a scepter. It's in the book of Esther. Esther's one of the most fascinating books in the Bible because it tells the story of a young woman who becomes the queen. The queen and the king's name is Xerxes, and he's got incredible power. The king has the scepter, and the rule is in this kingdom that if you happen to walk in to the king's throne room and he doesn't want to see you, if he doesn't hold out his scepter and say, I accept you, if he doesn't do that, it's off with your head. You're dead. That's it. You have no right to interrupt the king. This king, he's got supreme authority and he's a short temper. So you can't mess around here. That's what that scepter means. It says there in Numbers, the scepter that can crush the foreheads. So this king, Xerxes, he's got this scepter. And Queen Esther, even though she's the queen, she still doesn't have the right to walk right into the throne room. But she hears a story that her people, the Israelites, are in danger. Just like when they hired Balaam to come and prophesy a curse. She knows her family, her kinsmen, the people of God are in danger. And so she has to get the courage to go into the throne room and appeal to the king for their deliverance. And look what happens in Esther 5:2. The king saw Queen Esther standing in the court. She won favor in his sight, and he held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. Then Esther approached and touched the tip of the scepter. That scepter meant you are accepted. That scepter meant I'm going to hear your cries. I'm going to hear your prayers. I'm going to answer you. That scepter meant I accept you. That scepter meant I deliver you. I will listen to you. I will be your Savior. I, your King, your Lord, and your Master, who have supreme authority, I extend my scepter to you, and I accept all of your pleas and your appeals and your cries for help, and I will listen, and I will act. Xerxes held a scepter. Balaam saw a star that holds a scepter. The wise men, when they looked up at the star, what they were really seeing was the scepter of God shining down upon Bethlehem. The royal authority, the supreme authority over heaven and earth, brought down onto earth into a manger in a baby. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given unto him, and he comes down to you. He says, I accept you. I invite you. I hear your cries. You can come right into the throne room of God Almighty through Jesus Christ. He is the royal yes. Yes. What he says goes. That's the message of Christmas. That's what Jesus Christ has brought. That's why we celebrate every single year. Jesus has come close. Through him, we come to God forevermore. Jesus says this in Revelation 22, verses 16 and 17. The end of the Bible. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you about these things for the churches. I am the root and descendant of David, the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty, come. Let the one who desires take the water of life without price. Jesus says, come. Jesus is God saying, come. The scepter has been extended. Will you respond? Will you hear his invitation and come? I pray that this Christmas you come near to God through Jesus Christ. I pray that you set aside all of the things of this world, all the authorities of this world, all the rulers of this world. They are nothing compared to Jesus Christ. He invites you to know him, to have everlasting life. I'm so grateful that you're here this morning to hear the message of Jesus Christ, to hear of his coming, of his salvation that he offers to each of us. If you will come to Jesus, if you will believe in him, if you'll put your faith in him, if you believe that he died and rose again, you are promised everlasting life. The gift of God is given for each one of us. I'm going to invite you to receive the gift of Jesus Christ for your salvation. So would you close your eyes, bow your heads as I pray? And if you want to say yes to Jesus' invitation to come to God, as I pray this prayer, simply raise your hand and say, I'm saying yes to Jesus. I'm saying yes to Jesus. Afterwards, if you want more prayer, I invite you to come see me, and I'd love to pray with you. We'll have other leaders here in the altar area at the end of our service who would want to pray with you. If you have any needs of healing, needs of provision, any kind of prayer needs, we're a church that prays for one another. We want to pray for you. But at this time, we're coming to God. We're coming to Jesus. Lord, thank you for your coming. Thank you for the Christmas story that your salvation has come, has drawn near to us. You are the one speaking to us, the Word of God made flesh. Lord, we come to you right now. We ask that you open our hearts to receive you. Lord, we confess we have fallen short in our own ability. We have not measured up. But we draw near to you now. We ask for your help. We hear you inviting us And so we come near. Lord, across this room, across this sanctuary, draw your people. Let your Spirit move upon their hearts. Draw them to have faith in you, that their lives would be transformed, that they would obey you, they would love you, they would worship and adore you. Draw your people. And Lord, now fill us with your Spirit. Send us out in the power of God to proclaim your name, that every knee would bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Lord, send us out as your messengers. Please, Lord, work in us to boldly proclaim your gospel message. And make us, Lord, to be those who bring peace. Wherever we go, let your peace follow with us. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.